Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, January 21st, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time big book study meeting. Today we are reading from the big book. We're in the chapter Into Action. We're on page 84 and we're going to unpack paragraph 1 today. Very small, very powerful. Are these extravagant promises? And ends with, if we work for them. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Kim T., the 12 Traditions, Shelley C. R. Reading the text today in support is Kathy Jo P., K.P., Kathleen O. And then wait for it, Wendy B. will be greeting newcomers and getting sponsor contact information, and Leslie M. will be giving announcements after recording. The reference numbers, the share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, January 20th, 2020, is 13998, 13,998. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be for Tuesday, the 21st, 2020, 14002, 14,002. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OASIF tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Kim T. to please read the 12 Steps of OA.
Good morning. Thank you, everyone. The 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kim T. I will now ask Shelley C.R. to please read the 12 Traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Shelley C.R., recovering compulsive overeater in Minnesota. The 12 Traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, each OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me this chance to provide service, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Shelley. Appreciate that. That's Shelley C.R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 again to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. I want to make note here that that would be the star 1 key function only, please. Your self-mute isn't effective in this case to keep the line quiet. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter Into Action. We're on page 84. And we're going to be reading and unpacking today the tremendous four-line power-packed paragraph of paragraph 1. It starts with, "Are these extravagant promises?" and ends with, "We work for them." And I'm going to invite Kathy Jo P. to please read that paragraph and comment by speaking about the directions that she applies for herself. Thanks. Hi, Kathy Jo.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater from Minneapolis. I'm going to start off with, I heard somebody on the line last week say, "I'm a recovering compulsive overeater." What I mean by that is I am recovered as in food hardly ever calls to me anymore. And when it does, I have tools I can use, the 10th step, so that I can get out of myself and out of my ego and my selfishness and get reconnected to God. And the times where food is really talking to me is extremely rare. But recovering the emotional sobriety, the things here
Kathy
that Joe, change.
Kathy Jo,
yes?
Kathy Jo, just a minute, please. Would you be willing to read the paragraph for us, please, before you comment?
Did I forget to read? I am so sorry. Okay, here we go. It's so short that I forgot to read it. Thank you, Melanie. "Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them." So yes, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. I remember as I have been going forward many times, people have said to me, "You sure are going to have a story to tell. I didn't waltz in here and become a new woman overnight." and I am becoming a new woman, but I'm not a new woman yet. I still have so many things that I need to recover from, and my behaviors and my fears and my selfishness and how I show up. But God is and has transformed me tremendously and is using me as an example to help others. And I am going to focus on they will always, always, always. It doesn't say sometimes, it says they always will materialize if we work for them. And sometimes that work for me, and often the work actually for me, is to pause, give it to God. Don't get in there and try to control and work on outcomes. Let people be. When I have made a lot of amends where I need to take about 9 steps back and give the relationship to God, we do not do these amends so that people will like us again or love us again. We do these amends so that we can connect to our higher power. And there are so many things that have changed for me and so many ways that I am becoming less selfish and more peaceful and more trusting of God, and big things that I've been through with my health and learning to lean on God and trust in God and let God work in me that I never dreamed possible. And I just keep showing up, coming back for another dip of this program and working it and knowing that, believing, because I see it says that it's fulfilled among us. It's not just me. It's the people that shine the light brightly that have been ahead of me and learned to do things differently. As I am a baby in the program, 4 years, they show me how to do it, and I believe it because I see it in them. So I think I'm going to close with keep coming back. It's working if we work it. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P. The lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 1, page 84. If you're interested, if you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, I'll make a lineup of about 6 of y'all.
Sharon K., Toronto.
Did I hear Sharon K.?
Yes.
Okay.
Rachel
Kathleen
P.
Kathleen O. Rachel P. and Kathleen O.
Joe M., Utah.
Joe M., gotcha.
Shelley C.R.
Shelley C.R.
Elaine B.
Oh, hi, Elaine. Gotcha. Okay, sounds great. Sharon K., Rachel P., Kathleen O., Joe M., Shelley R., and Elaine B. Hi, Sharon. Your 3 are now.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. I'll let you know, though.
Perfect. Thank you.
Just dive right in.
Okay, these promises are just so fabulous, and they do come true. Like, it's just amazing how they come true. It was really not that long ago that I, like, fear completely dominated my life, and especially fear of people and economic insecurity. I was at a point where I would go into panic attacks so strongly that it sometimes took half an hour before I could breathe at a normal pace again. I mean, I was just absolutely paralyzed with this panic. And through this program, like, it's just that has completely subsided, where fear just does not dominate my life anymore. My situation has not changed either financially or from a people point of view, but I don't even remember the last time I had a panic attack. And it is literally just from doing this work day by day, moment by moment, calling people like Melanie when I'm in the panic attack, and just working it through. It just transforms the way you think about everything. So the world is not, I mean, it just, everything changes without anything on the outside changing. So thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Sharon Kay. Rachel P., you're up now, and then Kathleen O. will follow you.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive reader in Denver, Colorado. these are not extravagant promises. They're not, they have come true in my life. And I've been in program for not even 2 years, and they've come true. And, you know, I remember hearing them for the first time in a meeting when I, you know, shortly after I came into the rooms, and thinking, I am so far from that. How is this going to come true for me? But the thing is that I had hope that they would. And I think that's such a key in this program. And when I came in, I had exhausted every other avenue. Nothing else had worked for me. And I was just at that point of desperation that I was willing to go to any lengths, and I was willing to believe. And I think that's so necessary in this program, is the wholehearted, unabashed, humble belief that this will work for me. And then as I worked the steps, they started to come true. And, you know, it's almost like I'm thinking about the metaphor of, like, looking at the clouds in the sky. Like, you see them kind of in a static space. You know, normally I don't see them actively moving, but I look back up 2 seconds later and they've completely shifted. And I keep coming back to the promises and realizing, oh, yes, that's happened for me. And it's just, it's so remarkable. Each of these promises has now come true in my life, and they continue to come true. And I loved what Kathy Jo said about the abstinence and neutrality around the food versus the emotional sobriety. The emotional sobriety piece is the thing that I get to keep working on throughout the rest of my life, and these promises get to keep deepening in my life as I continue to do this work and work the steps on a regular basis. And I'm just so grateful for this program. It has completely changed my life. And if you're new and you don't know whether this is going to work for you, just do it with reckless abandon, because I can tell you it worked for me. So thanks, I'll pass.
Thank you, Rachel P. Kathleen O, you're next, and then Joe will follow you.
Good morning. This is Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California. Oh, this is a great paragraph. We think they are not extravagant promises, and sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but they always, and I read that in capital letters, materialize, and I read in capital letters, if we work for them. One of my favorites in those promises is that the feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. Self-pity can crop up when, it just can crop up and when things don't go my way. But when I work at having it disappear by doing a 10-step, writing out a resentment or writing out a fear, I find that self-pity is very short-lived. I don't have to, you know, go down this downward spiral. So when I'm feeling sorry for myself because things aren't going my way, I quickly go to my higher power. I ask for direction, knowing in my heart that my higher power has my back. I mean, I truly believe that. And I also believe that frequently when things don't go my way, that there's something that I need to be learning, that there's a lesson there. So I do a 10-step, I figure out a way to be a service to someone. And you know, I mean, trust me, there's oodles of opportunities to do service, whether the service is in or out of program. And frequently service will be put right in front of me. It's like, oh, there's my opportunity. So I love all these promises. You know, life is challenging, but when I'm able to stay out of self-pity and self-seeking, I can trudge through the challenges. And sometimes when the answers don't come quickly, I do get busy and do service. You know, I could connect in meditation with my higher power, and I can call trusted fellows and get feedback. And just yesterday, I was being challenged by a loved one, and I just continued to surrender this feeling of helplessness and ask for the right thought or action. And I made some calls to my fellows, which is, excuse me, always very, very helpful. And in the afternoon, yesterday I had an appointment for my dog at the vet, and the vet tech brought me back and showed me this little dog that had a broken leg, and the leg needed to be amputated. And the owner wasn't there, but I learned she didn't have the money that she needed for the surgery. And, you know, all I have to do is look at a dog and I can't help but help it. And So I really feel like God put me there in that perfect moment, because I'm part of a rescue group, and we pay for free spay neuter for low income, but every now and then we have the opportunity to help with the medical. And so I was able to help with part of this medical procedure through my rescue. And it isn't something that I can normally do, but the timing was right. And, you know, whenever I do stuff like that, it totally takes my mind off my little problems. And I think my time's up, right, Melanie?
Mm-hmm.
My buzzer's going off. Okay, so I'll pass. I had more, but I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Joe M., your 3 minutes start now. And then Shelley C.R. will come after you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to share this morning. My name is Joe M., a compulsive overeater who is just starting his recovery from Cedar Hills, Utah. I'm so grateful, but sometimes less is more. And this brief paragraph is very impactful and powerful in that it gives hope. That was the word that came to me as someone who has been overeating for a few decades. I used to play a lot of basketball, and my metabolism was high, and that is no longer the case, and hence I've gained quite a bit of weight. But the one word, hope, that is coming to me is through my sponsor. She indicated to me that she's never shared, and I love that because she's humble. She is very thoughtful, but she has shown me hope, not by sharing, but by doing. She is amazing, and as I meet with her, I feel hope that I can do this. The other thing I just want to express gratitude for, and I'll close, is these calls and the hope that comes from those who are recovered, right? We all consider ourselves overeaters, but those who have recovered using this method have and continue to show me that it's possible. And that's what this paragraph says to me today, that it is possible to overcome years or decades or what have you of eating improperly. I consider through my God that my body is a temple, and it's time for me to clean house. It's time for me to go through a period of restructure, and I'm so grateful that I have options, good eating, healthy options. And, you know, heretofore, I haven't really felt like I could make the changes that I need to, but this program is giving me hope. So with that, I just want to express gratitude for those who lead these calls, the readers, and especially those who share their successes, because it is giving me hope. I have not missed a call since January 1st, and I'm so, again, grateful for those who are helping me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Joe M. Before we talk to Shelley C.R., I'd like to let folks know that we're on page 84 of the big book in the chapter Into Action, and we're unpacking those four lines, the first paragraph, and it starts with, "Are these extravagant promises?" and ends with, "We work for them." So get ready to share. I'm going to open it up in just a couple more here for you to be able to comment too. Shelley C.R., though, is up next, and then Elaine B. before I open it up. Hi, Shelley.
Good morning. This is Shelley C.R., recovering compulsive overeater in northern Minnesota. This paragraph, although small, has so much packed into it, and I've experienced this. I come to OA after being a part of another program for many, many years. And when I was working that program, you know, the 12 steps, the big book, when I was using the tools, when I was doing all these things, it took me a while to notice. But one of the things that happened within that is all of my food stuff fell away. And I had food neutrality for about 4 years while I was really working this other program, this other 12-step program. And so I experienced how these promises can come true. And that last sentence, they will always materialize if we work for them. So I experienced that part of working for them and finding them, and then I also fell away from that program. Not 100%, But I really stopped going to as many meetings. I was not as in as much contact with my sponsor. I moved and had to find a new home group and whatnot. And so I also experienced that part where I was not working my program as strongly as I had been previously. And then those fears started coming back. Defects of character got stronger that had fallen away or that had significantly lessened. And so I know that when I work this program, and I'm so grateful for my food stuff because I know that that's just the symptom, but it brought me to OA to then reconnect with the 12-step program, to get a sponsor, to connect with my higher power, to follow through on doing these things. And unfortunately, just recently I relapsed, and that was that's a part of this process as well for me. And I know it's because, again, I then fell out of my routine of my prayers in the morning, you know, being in contact with different people in the program, calling people regularly. I had challenged myself to do 90 meetings in 90 days, which I did, which was so helpful to me, and just kept me focused on my program and my connection with my higher power. And that ended, and I thought that I could continue doing this program without, you know, using all of the tools. So again, I know that this is 100% true, and previously, like, life had been something that I could never have imagined. So very grateful to be here today and very grateful to hear from all of you and all of your shares. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Shelley C.R. Elaine B., your 3 minutes start now, and then we'll open up the lines again.
Thank you so much, Melanie, for all your beautiful, grateful service. And this is Elaine B., recovered in Massachusetts, and so incredibly grateful. You know, I've been at many, many meetings where they read these promises that are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Well, at those meetings, they didn't tell me what the work was. They weren't talking about the steps. They did read them at the beginning of the meeting, and they didn't say that if we're painstaking about this phase of our development, which is step 9, going out, making our amends, we'll be amazed before we're halfway through. That's when these promises begin coming true, although some of them may happen before that. But this is a whole amazing list of problems: new freedom, new happiness, not regret the past, or wish to shut the door on it. This one I love. We'll know the word serenity, and we will know peace. You know, my second vision for you meeting after a terrible relapse, that my husband wrote me a letter and said, "You've taken on a new lover, and it's food. And divorce is not an option, but this has impacted our marriage. And we can live separately in this house." Man, it's just as tough even to say this stuff. You know, I found that I was so deep bogged in the food, I couldn't even understand what he was saying and didn't even get it. I just put the letter aside. I found it 2 years later, after more than a year and a half of being recovered through working these steps. And I was just stunned when I saw that letter. I really felt what it said. But all these promises had come true. I didn't want to show it to my husband. I put it away for another year, and then I showed it to him. He did not even remember writing it. You know, the promise of marriages and relationships being restored beyond recognition is not in this, but that happens. The promise of being able to go through, well, to be honest with you, some pretty severe cancer treatment that I've been going through now, and, you know, still got more time to go. Nearly 2 years of treatment, and you know, God got me through it. It's just amazing to be able to show up with a smile on my face. You know, to find a new purpose, a new happiness. It's just really, you know, I call it the great bait and switch. I came in with the food. That was my hook. You know, it was a deep hook in my mouth, and God reeled me in. And just like He said to Fritz, you know, Fritz says earlier in the book where she's sharing a story that, you know, quite as important was to find out that God wanted to help me with all my problems today, and He wants to help you too. So hang in there. Keep doing the work. The work is the steps. Okay. Thanks. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Elaine B. The lines are open now for additional shares on paragraph 1, page 84. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, I can get you down. I have about five spaces.
Leah.
Hi, Leah.
Lisa J.R.
Marcella
K.
Something J.R. Is that Lisa J.R.?
Marilyn K.
Beverly R.
Marilyn K.
I want to make sure. Hang on just a second. I want to make sure that I heard Lisa J.R.
Yes.
Lisa
yes,
J.R. Okay, that's who I was looking for. Okay. Thanks so much.
Page are we on,
and then
please,
yeah, we're on page 84, paragraph 1.
Marilyn K.
I have Sherry KB, I have Marilyn K, and I have Beverly R. That's who I have. I have Leah S, Lisa J.R., Sherry KB, Marilyn K, and Beverly R. Okay, so let's go with Leah S, please.
Good morning, everyone.
Thank everyone you. Else, star one, please.
Am I being heard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Okay, wonderful. So this is Leah S., recovering and recovered in Brooklyn. Thank you, dear God. This is too much, too many words. But one thing that I want to say, yeah, I came into this program very cynical, really, really sarcastic. And I thought to myself, how can someone put down these promises in words back in the 1930s and expect them to hold true at this time? I mean, life, technology, everything changed, you know? So how do they expect that this entire 12 steps and the big book and everything would work? I thought they were really exaggerating, but I didn't really pay too much attention. And as I went along with my work, and this is the work that I needed to put into this program, I saw certain changes coming over me, and I still didn't associate them until I started reading those promises again. And I said, wait, this came true, and that came true. And you know what? I'm not so angry at my husband at all anymore. And look at that. My kids are talking so nicely to me. And yes, they want my company. And you know what? I can even make a big joke. This is the way I celebrate my birthday. Get me all kinds of balloons. This is my way of celebrating my birthday. And you know what? Everybody picked it up. Oh, balloon grandma. And where did I ever make fun and have fun? And these are not exaggerations at all. Is this such a relief in putting your head on the pillow at night and saying, thank you, dear God, for this day. Thank you. And I look forward to another one. And I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. Lisa J.R., you're next. And then Sherry K.B.
Good morning, everybody. It's Lisa J.R. from Baltimore. Grateful for today. Grateful for this meeting. What a power-packed paragraph, little guy. You know, I was a good one for the promises. I was eager to have everything that was good, and, you know, I was the queen of feel good, you know. If it feels good, do it. Well, I wanted the promises because they were all good, you know. They were all positive. But, you know, that little word, that little mighty, mighty power-packed word, if, you know, in my faith walk, I am told that if I stay within certain boundaries, I will be safe and all will be well with me. And it's so true with program, you know. This is elective. We're allowed to be part of the boundaries. We're allowed to do the work as it's said in this book. Nobody's forcing us. But we're, you know, the half measures avail us nothing. Well, you know, I came in and did it cafeteria style for a long time. You know, so I got a little bit of pixie dust, but, you know, a little bit of osmosis kind of. But, you know, really and truly, it wasn't until I took action and I stayed in action. You know, it's a continuum. It's not a destination. And I came here for the destination. I was going to get control of my eating habits. I was going to lose weight. but I wasn't thinking about the monkey chatter in my head. I, like so many of us here, my marriage has been restored, not because my husband's changed, but because I've changed in the marriage, and I'm 50% of it, and I've been restored to sanity. I get along better with my office mates. Miracles have happened, miracles. Yeah, I'm not obsessing over everything and everyone in my life today. I really, truly can say live and let live. And those slogans that used to make me roll my eyeballs and go, oh, gosh, you know, first things first, one day at a time, et cetera, et cetera. I adore those sayings now when I mocked them before, because I'm taking action. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa J.R. Sherry K.B., your 3 minutes will start right now, and then Marilyn K. will come after you.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry K.B. in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service always, Melanie, and everybody on the line. And thank you, Team Tuesday. And welcome, newcomers. Welcome home, everybody. Yes, this is a very powerful paragraph, and it deserves its attention all by itself, because for me, you know, I even looked up the word extravagant this morning just to, you know, I love to do that. Unreasonable, extreme, excessive. So are these extravagant promises? We think not, because they are happening. They're happening among all of us at our different pace with our higher powers. And for me, I know I'm a work in progress, but I am seeing such changes in my life. It's amazing to me. It really is. And it really does work. And I love what it says on page 88. We'll get to that. There's a sentence all by itself. It says it works. It really does. So if we work for this really happens. And I know that for me, in these past couple of weeks, I have been on my knees praying for some people, for some situations I've been in. And, you know, it's amazing to me, the power of prayer. It's amazing to me when I follow directions, like in this book, what happens when I'm not running the show, when I'm not trying to do things my way, when I ask God for help. Even when I'm having a bad day, if I ask God for help, it's still a better day, even when things are not going great, because I have serenity. And the definition of serenity is calm, peaceful, untroubled, undisturbed, so that when I'm walking through something that normally I would be face down in the food and I'm not, and I'm feeling calm and I'm feeling carried, it's because of doing this work. It's because of working these steps that God gives me this experience, whereas before on my own, I was white-knuckling through life, including my emotions. And here, to me, that God gives me that grace to walk through something that normally I would be afraid to walk through. Don't misunderstand, I still have fear, doubt, insecurity, restless, irritable, and discontent. I can wake up that way, but I know what to do now. I can get on my knees and I ask God to please remove this at once, and I go be useful. And while I'm being useful the way God would like for me to be useful, it gets removed. That fear gets removed, and I'm amazed at that. I really am, and it continues to do that if I work it. And it's only if I work it that it continues to, I'm granted these promises. And other parts of it can be slow, but other parts of it I've seen have been amazing, and you can have this too. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Marilyn K., you're up next. Star 1, please.
Marilyn, and I am Marilyn Kay, and I am from Beaverton, Oregon, and I have been listening to A Vision for You for many months, but I've never shared. I'm a care partner for my husband who has advanced Parkinson's, and he just fractured his hip, is in a rehab unit, and so I thought, well, this is a time I'm by myself, I can share. These promises have come true for me. I have been involved in 12-step recovery since the 1980s, and in about I've had a good abstinence for 6 years, and I know this is all from God. I try to sit down, relax, pause before I eat, and God has helped me so much. I feel like I also have the peace that I never experienced before, and these promises have very much so made a difference in my life. And since I've listened to so many of you, I thought I needed to give a little bit back to share that these promises do come true, and they have made a major difference in my life. And I appreciate all of you and all the sharing that you have done. I usually don't talk very long, so I probably won't do my 3 minutes, but I just wanted to share that these promises do come true, and I ask to God to help each of you today. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Marilyn Kay. Welcome, Sister Oregonian. Next up is Beverly R. Your 3 minutes start now, and I'm pretty sure they're going to have time for a couple more, so stay tuned. Hi, Beverly.
Hello, can you hear me? It's Beverly R.
Yep, I'll let you know.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I'll let you know if I can't.
Okay. Okay, I just wanted to talk briefly and say that I am relapsed. I'm just coming back from relapse, and I have 1 day of abstinence. And I wanted to say to the newcomer, keep coming back. It works if you work it. And that's all I want to say. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. And I have seen that in my life, even though now I'm in relapse. And that's all I say. It's Beverly R. from Gaithersburg, Maryland. Keep coming back.
Thank you, Beverly R. With that, we do have time for two more folks to share on paragraph 1, page 84. If you are interested, give me your first name, the first initial, your last name.
Courtney.
Ricky.
The Adirondack Mountains.
I hear Courtney and Adirondack Mountains.
Pam M. That's me.
Pam M. Okay, we've got Pam and Courtney. So Courtney, you're first, and then Pam.
Okay. Can I be heard?
Yeah, you bet. I'll let you know, though.
Perfect. So, wow, I love these promises. What a wonderful set of information here. This is Courtney M., recovering in Southwest Florida. And I am in the process right now of my fourth step. I'm about to give away a step tomorrow. Looking forward to that. But I, even in that short space of time, I'm not in my ninth step yet. I'm not into doing those amends yet, but they're coming. And even with this much work into the steps where I'm not yet to that space, I'm already seeing some of these promises come true. I'm already feeling a neutrality with the food where I didn't before. I'm already pausing to be kinder in how I talk to my kids or my husband, just by doing this much. So the idea of before we're even halfway through, I'm not even halfway through. I'm a quarter of the way, maybe, right? But I'm already seeing these promises coming to fruition. And I love that. And somebody earlier mentioned the perfect little pivot point word, if. That's the big word, isn't it? Because I have definitely been in recovery programs and not really been working it. And I got different results than I'm getting now. I really do have to work it. I can't just sit and expect recovery to happen. I have to go into action. And I just want to put that out there. Like, if you're feeling like you can just sit back and put it on cruise control, it just doesn't work that way. Or at least it hasn't for me. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Courtney M. Pam M., your 3 minutes start right now.
Good morning. Blessed morning, everyone. Pam M., the Adirondack Mountains of New York. And today I am happy to say that I have strung enough 1 days at a time to celebrate my 1 year anniversary abstinence today. I'm so grateful that we're talking about the promises on this day because I just got off the phone with my sponsor and I said, I don't know if I'm going to even weigh myself today. I have had some weight loss, but What I'm going to do is whip out my old fourth step, and I'm going to count all the relationships that I have healed, that God, my higher powers, helped me heal through this program over the past year of this abstinence. I think it must be about 20 relationships that I have rejuvenated through the power of this program and through following these steps and becoming more useful. And I have this profound experience of peace and joy and love. And, you know, I'm looking forward to stringing enough days one day at a time so that, you know, I'm 45 now. When I'm 75, I want to be on this line with you all saying, yeah, I'm celebrating my 30 years of abstinence because, you know, I just never felt better in my whole life. And I've done so many self-help programs. And it's just this simple program of action that is bringing me to ease, to peace, and to usefulness. And I'm grateful I can call in and share today. So with that, I pass. Namaste.
Thank you very much, Pam. Hey, you know what, folks? That leaves us at least with one more person to share. Folks have kind of cut their time short today. You got it, Bonnie.
Patty,
let's go and see what
Natalie
G. Patty, let's see if Bonnie doesn't take her whole time. I know I won't have time for anybody else besides Bonnie and possibly Patty. So, Bonnie, if you want to start and see where we go, and we'll see if we have time left over for Patty.
And I think I can keep it short. Bonnie G, recovered in South Florida. I am, promises are coming true today. I got to share. Promises. And promises always remind me, make me think of, what happens if I don't follow the program as written in this book? All promises have warnings behind them. You know, do what they did and I'll get what they did. And that's my share. Thank you so much for giving me the time. Bye. Pass.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you. Patty T, there's time for you. You want three?
Hi, yes. Is it Patty?
Yeah, you betcha.
Oh,
you
good.
Got the three.
Mine is short as well. Everyone. It's Patty T from North Hollywood, California. And I really loved this meeting this morning. And you know what? I, too, went to the dictionary, and I looked up always. You know, because we always want to stop. We always want to win. We always want more. We always, always, always. And these promises say they will always come true. So I thought, well, what does that mean in context? And I looked it up, and in the Merriam-Webster, it says always, at all times, invariably. And then the synonyms for that are eternally, ever, everlastingly, forever, forevermore, indelibly, permanently, and perpetually. And that is if, and that's true for me. If I work for them, if I listen to you, if I go to God, if I pick up the phone, if I let go and step out of my own way. And thank you so much for this meeting. It's crucial to me for my recovery. And I'll pass.
Thanks, Patty T. Hey, let's do one more minute. Does somebody else have one more minute?
Hi, Melanie. It's Lorraine N.
Okay, you just take a run. And see what happens, all right? You might get two, we'll see.
Yeah, I just want to say that I, too, have the promises coming true in my life. And listening to the shares made me realize it even more, how many promises. I came into this program in despair, and my life has changed completely. And the reason it's changed is because I committed myself to the process of the 12 steps. And I had never really made that solid commitment in the past. And so I am just thrilled today. It's been, both meetings were powerful, and I'm just so grateful that I found Visions. Thanks so much. I'll pass.
Perfect timing. Thanks so much, Lorraine. And thanks to everyone that shared today on this meeting. They have been just stunning shares and the service that was provided. So grateful for that. But we're going to wrap up with the recorded portion of the meeting, but don't go away. We still have newcomers to greet, sponsor info to get, and announcements to make after we've closed out with a serenity prayer. But in the meantime, KP, would you please read on page 164, our book is meant to be suggestive only.
I will be glad to. This is KP from South Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.